Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. Florida poet laureate Peter Meinke is bringing a night of poetry, stories, and song to Naples this month, and he'll be accompanied by music and singing from some of Southwest Florida's most talented artists. The event is Tuesday, August 15th, about a week and a half from today, at the Naples United Church of Christ, and it will feature poems from Peter as well as a newly composed song cycle for soprano, baritone, and piano set to the poet's works. Joining us today from Tampa is our state's poet laureate, Peter Meinke. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. Also joining us today in our studio is composer William Dawson Jr., also known as Bill. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live, Bill.
Thanks for inviting me.
We're talking about poetry, music, and a unique evening planned for Naples later this month, combining the two. Call in with your questions or comments for our poet and composer at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Peter, you're Florida's poet laureate, and that's a position that was created by our state lawmakers very recently in 2014. What is job of the poet laureate?
Well, it's a little bit like a poetic Johnny Appleseed. I go around the state of Florida, and I go to schools and libraries, clubs, groups, museums, and I read poems. I don't lecture, basically. I read poems and hope that they some of them fall on fertile soil and people will like them and go back to reading poems and add some poetry into their life.
Spreading the
it's
good
nothing
word.
Nothing very, very fancy, but I just go around reading poetry.
So how did you get that job?
Well, I'm not entirely sure, but there were committees that had been working on this for years and years. Florida had a system where the poet laureate was usually just appointed by a few people of friends of the governor, and they were appointed for life, like the long outdated English system. And they have been trying, I understand, to get a system of limited thing to give people a sense of how much poetry, how many poets are in the state and the rich history we have. And finally, in 2014, they got it passed this legislature, which hardly passes anything at all. So it was amazing.
Well, as concerning the arts, that was quite a feat. So
yes, and there are committees that vote and they nominate people. And I guess it came down to three names and the governor threw a dart or something. It's a mystery to me.
But, well, congratulations.
But here I am.
So, Bill Dawson, you're a composer and an arranger, and I understand that you took the initiative here and put some of Peter's poems to music.
Yes, I found that his poetry actually was easily adaptable to music. He has a musical way of writing poems.
So it kind of had a lyrical quality to it.
Definitely.
You were reading it. Did you find yourself reading it out loud and thinking, how can I put this to music? How this would work?
Absolutely, I love Peter's love of words for the first place because he's a really great poet. Really loves words, and he does. And his imagination just soars, and he does so many interesting things with his words. He juxtaposes incongruous things, such as in one of his poems, he talks about the wild electric tree. And he makes up words, too, which I love. For instance, in the poem Lake Norman, he talks about nightfall and then follows it with lightfall, which is new word to me. But it's perfect. It perfectly describes what he's trying to get across.
Inventing words is a hobby also for me, but I'm not a poet about it. That is for sure.
Yeah.
So, Peter, you say that you first heard the music that Bill created for your poems in your car. How did that happen?
Well, Bill came over, and he surprised us by calling us up and telling us what he was going to do, and he came to visit our house. And Jeannie, my wife's an artist, and we really like musicians and actors and dancers. We're all of the arts, so any idea of mixing them is interesting to us, but we live pretty simply, and we have the radio, which we listen to, and Bill was stunned that we didn't have a big stereo system and that would play
nor
the
TV.
Music. Nor TV down there. So we went out to our car, and I'll tell you, almost blew the roof off until we turned it down a little, and it was a wonderful experience. We all got very enthusiastic and enjoyed it a lot.
So, Bill, that wasn't just any piece of music you played. It was being sung by Naples soprano Stephanie Pierce.
No, not any piece of music. This is a world-class soprano.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
What an honor, actually, to have her be singing my songs, I Can't Tell You.
This is such a great meeting of great artists. So, Peter, how did it feel to hear your poems not only put to music, but being sung?
Well, I was all for it. I haven't had it happen too much, but I have had it, you know, put to like guitar music, sung like a blues song, but never to really classical music, which I like very much. And my mother was a piano teacher, and I used to play the piano, and I have poems about playing the piano and this sort of thing. And we thought it right away. It was a terrific idea. And I'm looking forward to the concert, which, can you say, I haven't heard it yet. So
okay, well, we have a little snippet. So let's hear one of those songs. Now, this is Florida Poet Laureate Peter Meinke's work, Poem to Old Friends Who Never Met, with music by Bill Dawson and vocals by Stephanie Pierce.
If I may, I would just like to add that the pianist is a world-class pianist, too. He's well-known in Southwest Florida. It's Richard Bosworth, playing the piano with
him. And they're both here in Naples?
Actually, yes. Mm-hmm.
I have to get to the opera more often down here. I mean, that's really impressive.
Yeah.
So, Bill, we just heard Peter's words put to your music. What attracted you to his poetry in particular enough to make you want to put them to music? You like his wordplay, but how is that lyricality of it?
Do we have a couple of hours? I mean, I'm very fond of his music, of his poetry, because, you know, many admirers and scholars have noted that he has a special clarity and accessibility about his poems. They can be witty, they're darkly absorbing, wry, surreal, dreamlike, philosophical, and they resonate with the average American reader who's often perplexed or browbeaten by so much contemporary American poetry. And this one scholar said that I think it's so true. He says Peter is a lovable, beleaguered man trying to make sense of a difficult world.
Peter, how does it feel to have all this praise just being heaped upon you at this point? Do you feel comfortable taking compliments? Peter, are you with us? I think we've lost
him. He passed out from all this praise.
It was just too much narcissism. It was just overwhelming. So, Bill, tell me a little bit more about how this evening in Naples came about. Where did the idea first come from?
Well, thankfully, there's a series there that Milana Stravesa has already going. It's called the Grand Piano Series, and we just plugged into that. And we thought that the summer would be a good time to do it, since there's not so much competition, cultural events going on. So we're hoping for a nice crowd, because Peter's going to be accessible, and people can meet him and talk to him, and have him sign books and...
I think it'll be a nice time, too. It's a nice reward for people who are year-rounders, who are real live year-round Floridians, to get to meet the Florida Poet Laureate. So
absolutely.
I think that'll be a nice – what can people expect if they attend? So they get there. Are they going to meet and greet the author before or after?
No, that'll be at the end. But he will be reading some of his poetry. And we've also added on a special attraction to the concert. We're going to – I lived in Mexico for a while, met some poets over there, and I've written music to their poetry as well. And so that will also be on the program.
Okay. And I've just gotten word that Peter has rejoined us. I don't know what happened with our connection, Peter, but we were just giving you so many compliments. And I wanted to ask you, how do you feel when people are heaping praise upon you like that?
Well, I think I said, but it was blanked out. I said I feel beleaguered, definitely. And I like to the writing process, and I like to listen to poetry and music, and I could skip a lot of it.
It is kind of, you know, embarrassing. Yes. A little bit. You're just like, oh, well, I guess, you know, I just try my best.
But I feel like when I listen to Stephanie singing that, I have my poem in front of me. It's like the poem is a blossoming, you know, it's having like one of those photos where you see a rose blossom and comes right out of the lines. It's a total surprise.
You crafted this poem and then put it out in the world, and then to have it kind of boomerang back to you like this.
Look what's happening to it.
Yes. Now, there's just one other thing I just have to say before we go. He has irresistible titles to his poems. I'm looking at a book here, The Table of Contents. Just listen to some of the titles. It's like a box of chocolates. You see one and you can't resist. And listen to this. This is one is called The Elderly. She Paints Another Nude. Maples and Orange Trees. The True UFO Story. Here's one, Cheerios. Here's one, Vegetables. Angel Drinks, Greta Garbo poem, Teacups, A Necessary Bucket, The Poet Trying to Surprise God, Angel of Death Hovers Over Key West, and on and on it goes. It's just it's fantastic.
That would be one heck of a named storm. Peter, do you have a poem that you would like to read for us?
Sure, I have one that might be fun for people who are interested in both music and poetry, because it's called Minuet in G. And it came about when some time ago I picked up a big classical book that I had when I was young, and the page was bent down at Minuet in G. It showed that I had been practicing it. So this is both about music and about growing up in Brooklyn, where I was born and grew up until I was in my teens. Should I read it now?
Sure.
Good. Minuet in G. Certain melodies can break your heart just seeing them on the page. They're plump ovals bobbing like seagulls on the surface of some moonless tide. And this bent corner conjures the broad hand of Mr. Herbert, whose crescented thumbnail seemed wide as my wrist when he pressed it down, saying, "Next week, Peter, we make acquaintance with Mr. Ludwig von Beethoven." My mother hovering, tugging her slender fingers as if to say, "Grow, Peter, you can do it, concentrate." While outside, my friends whooped, slapping a ball tennis ball against our stoop. Mr. Herbert murmuring, "Legato, legato." And I, dreaming gondoliers and black-haired women with shadowy cleavage leaning from balconies, singing my name, Pietro, Pietro. The notes on their frail stems still skittering in clusters down the yellowing page, like children playing Three Steps to Germany in Brooklyn, one December evening, 1941. So that is a poem that I wrote about what it seemed like growing up back then. And as I look back at the sad tone of that I don't talk about a lecture about, is that, you know, these kids were they were practicing music because the whole block in the 40s was upwardly mobile, and the thought occurred to me that these young children are going to see a lot more of war than of music in their lives to come. So it gave a little change in the rhythm as I wrote it.
Well, just 1941 at the end immediately put me to, oh, well, it might not be so carefree as a tennis ball against a terrorist.
Right. And we were carefree. We didn't know what was coming exactly, yeah.
Yeah, eventually. Wow. And then the thumbnail, the thumbnail in your wrist, I'm envisioning that. And yeah, the crescent. Wow, that's What do you feel like when you're hearing that as a music guy?
I mean, how can you not love this man? His poetry, it's got such warmth and humanity to it. And I'm just in awe. I really am.
And one thing leads to another, as you write it. Yeah. So I'm looking, as I'm writing the poem, I'm looking at the pages, you know, there, and the little notes my mother might have made. And then, of course, the musical rules there in Latin, legato, legato. So when I wrote down legato, legato, that made me jump to a little further ahead and use Pietro, Pietro.
Oh, I know. We went to Italy in that, too. We went right over to Venice.
One thing led to another. That's the way poetry works.
We went from your mom worrying and saying, please, please do it. I know you can do it. You've got it in you. And then you're going off to Italy. Yeah. As all the different boyhood imaginations.
Yeah. Robert Frost said that in a poem, you have to surprise yourself. The writer can't really know what the ending is going to be, because no surprise in the writer, no surprise in the reader, was what Frost said. And I believe that that's basically true.
Well, before we run out of time, I want to listen to one more song. This one's sung by baritone Christopher Halloway. Let's hear a portion of one song. We don't want to give them all away because we want everyone to go to this event. This is Florida Poet Laureate Peter Meineke's work On Lake Norman, with music by Bill Dawson and vocals by Chris Halloway.
This November evening, Lake Norman lies still as polished aluminum, silver surface brushed by thin bones of dogwood and sycamore. On the far shore, sweet pine stiffens to stone. From our window we can see, like a shadow on a painting by Monet, a single ripple tugging the dark post where a rowboat's tied and everything moves. The nuclei of stars click like iron oarlocks in the wind, and woodboards swell and splinter to the same laws as any ventricle.
So we've only played a portion of that song because of time, but at this event in Naples, I understand, Bill, that you've composed a song cycle featuring Peter's poems set to music. What is a song cycle?
Well, it's a group of art songs. This happens to have – this is a group of five. And they – I've mixed the soprano with the baritone and, of course, piano, Richard Bosworth on the piano.
So do you have these songs and poems kind of connected in a certain way to
no,
flow?
Well, not really. No. They just – I chose them at random. Didn't have a particular theme.
So, and Peter.
But some of them, one of them, for instance, Miss Arbuckle, is an example, an extreme example of his whimsical nature. I won't read it to you, but I think people really enjoy the variety.
I think you're going to be hitting all of the emotions, it sounds
That's
like.
That's right.
Within each poem and then within each different, different presentation. So, Peter, you taught high school and college English after moving to Florida in 1966 with your family. Were you writing poetry over all those years?
Yes, I was. I was a closet poet. As I said, I grew up in Brooklyn, and it seemed right away that this was not something – whenever I mentioned I like poetry, there was sort of silence or what is that? And I kept it quiet. And I owe it all, I think, to my mother, who belonged to the Book of the Month Club, and I'm not sure she read poetry at all, but I found the anthologies that came with her Book of the Month Club subscriptions, and I just loved it instinctively for some reason. I have no idea why. I was not a precocious child. I was an early reader, but a very slow walker and talker. So maybe I was just looking for something to read, and I liked that. And I kept it quiet pretty much through, even though high school, I did do some. I showed it to a teacher, and I think this teacher put in the yearbook what it says about me. It says, Peter Meinke wants to be writer, probably will be censored. And so they kind of knew I wanted to be a writer, not necessarily a poet, but in high school. And I just kept at it. And
well, your creative life in retirement's been pretty busy. You've been a writer in residence at multiple colleges, published 18 books of poetry and short fiction. So you kind of didn't really retire.
No, I took early retirement so I could have more time to write. And when I went to all these schools, I had only one requirement. I said, well, I'll teach whatever you want and maybe one or two classes, but no committees.
Yeah.
Because I felt they were anti-poetry, the opposite mood.
Very independent spirit. So being poet laureate allows you to compose works for important moments in state history, in good times and bad. And in the one-year anniversary of the massacre at the Pulse nightclub in June, you wrote a poem called One Year Later. What was going through your mind when you wrote that?
Well, I was afraid to write at first. They called me from NPR in Orlando, and they said, would I do it as poet laureate? Would I help to commemorate the one-year anniversary? And I said, no, I can't do it that fast. I've had about 2 months to go, and I'm a slow writer. I do a lot of versions. But I had written about it in prose in one of the articles that I write. My wife and I do a biweekly piece called The Poet's Notebook for this Creative Lo-Fi magazine. And I had a lot of things on it, and I had thought about it a lot, and I began to write. And slowly I had the idea of making it a very formal poem that I thought would control myself a little bit and make it not sound whiny or angry, but I wrote from the voice of a survivor and made it kind of deep and almost inexpressible in a certain way. But
I remember
I could get it out in his voice. Yeah.
I remember that. We had that on our air during the one-year anniversary.
Good. Yeah.
Well, we have run up against time, so we're going to have to leave it there. But I do want to thank our guest, Florida Poet Laureate Peter Meinke. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
I also want to thank composer Bill Dawson, and good luck with your event in Naples this month. We have details that can be found on our website at wgcunews.org. Just click on today's show, Gulf Coast Live, and it will have links to the event and any information you need to know in order to get yourself there. So thank you very much, Ms. Composer Dawson.
My pleasure.
It was so nice to meet with you. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glynn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.